I talk? You're okay? Everybody can hear me? I'm just shy. It's not a big deal. Shy Ronnie. Anybody remember that? Shy Ronnie from SNL? I'm not saying I'm proud that I know that. I'm just saying, do you remember it? You bunch of pagans. My name is Matt. I live in Oceanside. I've got a beautiful wife. Her name's Amy. And we do have 6 children. We have 4 boys and then 2 girls. So that's really great. I know you're all really excited about that. So there it is. That's my life. I've been in youth ministry for a long time now. It's crazy. when I actually think about it, Tammy Mansier, if you guys don't know who she is, she's like the queen of San Diego. And aside from, you know, if you consider yourself the queen of San Diego, might have to battle it out, you know, a little thumb wars, I don't know. I've been leading worship since I was 17 years old, going into this youth group, and now going into, 10 years of full-time youth ministry, working with teens and young adults, and it's been crazy, I'll say that much. But before I get into all that, my favorite way to pray is to worship. I'm not promising you that my voice will sound anything like Jackie Francoise. It's a little bit better. On a scale of 1 to 10, Jackie is Jackie, and I clearly, because you guys laughed, you know who she is. So, but I love to pray through worship. So, I'm gonna invite you while you're eating, while you're drinking, whatever it is you're doing, to just invite the Lord into this place. He invited us here in the first place. So let's make him known. Kumbaya. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Oh my God! You thought you caught me slipping, didn't you? where are we? Where are we? I actually did a retreat a few months ago where I sent in the song list of, you know, things that I wanted to do, and they sent me a list of songs that they wanted to do, and in it was Kumbaya, and I was like, you're kidding, right? And they wrote back, and they're like, yeah, we are kidding, but we think it'd be funny. So I tried to rock out Kumbaya. It didn't happen. So. And I make this really I have ADD, I'll just tell you that now, and this game is going to get more of my attention than you are, okay? So, oh my, play, how do you, jeez. Okay, so let's get back to business, okay? I actually have this really bad habit of eating a lot right before I go to lead worship or speak, and I spend so much time going, you know, like trying to hold in. Well, that looked like I was throwing up, didn't it? But just trying not to belch into the microphone. So I apologize ahead of time, and because you're Christians, you have to forgive me. There is power, power here in this hour. We're all together, together, waiting here as one. There is power, power here in this hour. We're all together, together, waiting here as one. Whoa, 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 hear the sound from heaven. Whoa, 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 the mighty rushing winds. Whoa, 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 we're calling for revival, God. This song, Tuning. Yeah, right? Nice. It's always good to be with fellow Catholics because they're so supportive. I could be up here making fart noises and you guys would probably cheer me on just out of, you know, the kindness of your hearts. Can I tell you one of my secret dreams? Secret. So keep it to yourself. I dreamed that one day at the parish I worked up at in Orange County, when I first worked there, me and my pastor, we didn't get along very well. We were like night and day, okay? Like not peas and carrots, because I guess they go together, but night and day. And I had downloaded this app. It was a fart machine. On this iPod, and I dreamed about one day hooking it up to the system in the church, so that during this pastor's homilies, I could like just be like, you know, and see, nobody's laughing because you guys are so hardcore. You're like, oh, you're going to hell, Franklin. Well, maybe, no, judgers. I don't know. That's where my mind goes, though. I never did it, though. And actually, the Lord, like, healed our relationship, too. And he became, like, this amazing father figure for, like, the last 6 years that I worked there. And it was awesome. So I never, you know, felt the need to make him have fart noises during his homilies. So, I'd like to share a song with you real quick. Kind of goes along with what we're talking about tonight. But, I'm constantly amazed at God and how he chooses the people that he chooses. You know, so many times I look in the mirror and I go, okay, Franklin, you're going down to the Elephant Bar tonight to talk to a bunch of young adults about Jesus. Yeah, you. Like me? What? You know, I don't know. Does anybody else get like that where you're like, God, you, Like, you pulled me out of all my junk. You choose me? And and I'm amazed. And so this song came kind of out of this prayer of God. I don't know why. I don't know why you continue to use me in the ways that you do, but I mean, through all my mess, through all my ugliness, you still call me and you still use me, and it's amazing. It's amazing, because if I were God, I probably would have given up on me a long time ago. I'd be like, dude, nah, you know, you're not cutting it. You know, good thing God's love isn't conditional, amen. So it's called Good, Bad, and Ugly.
Feeling a little insecure of this light, and still you shine through my brokenness and all my sin. You lift me up time and time again. If I could ask just one question, I'd ask you why. Why are you so good to me? In this mess that I'm making, Lord, haven't you seen? You know the ins and outs about me, and you see the good, the bad, the ugly, yet you say you remain with me. You were the light inside my darkness, and you gave me joy when I was hopeless. What other friend would make so much of me? At a loss for words again, I find myself right where I began, picking up pieces of more or less meaningless hopes of being someone with a little more confidence. But I think I've found what I need. It's been here right in front of me. If you lead, I will follow. Oh, so let's go. Let's go.
Our God,
sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. God, sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this moment, in this time, in this place. We welcome you to fill our hearts and fill our minds, open our eyes and open our ears. Lord Jesus, this is all for you. Everything that we do, every move that we make is for you. Help us to own that. Help us to believe it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if I can walk around with this thing. So surrender. That's what we're talking about tonight. Oops. Go back. Little phone. Okay, good. Surrender. Surrender to what? Sweet surrender, even. Do you think anybody in a battle ever, when told that we're going to surrender, went, sweet. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, or thank you, General. I'm so glad we are surrendering. It probably wasn't sweet ever. And think about your faith. Think about your relationship with God. We call it sweet surrender because it is sweet. Because when we surrender to God, then everything is right. I didn't say everything is happy. I said everything is right. Okay. It's a good thing we're not videoing. ADD, I told you. So we're called to surrender. We were given this deposit of faith as children. Your parents gave it to you. You're probably like, thanks a lot, parents, for my deposit of faith. That's awesome. And then at confirmation, you know, you stood up and you're like, yep, woo, it's mine now. You know, like, or maybe it didn't. Maybe it took a couple of years. Maybe you're still working on it. But we have this faith. It's been passed down for 2,000 years, this church and these beliefs, and they're all really nice. They're all really good. When you were born, your parents drove you around until, you know, you were 16. Or, you know, if you still live at home and your parents still drive you around, then you're still doing that. But it was your parents' car, right? It's your parents' car. When you're 16, if you didn't get a car, you were borrowing your parents' car, right? Okay, it's your parents' car. You see what it can do. See where it can get you. It can get you from point A to point B a lot faster, maybe safer. You might look better when you're driving it. I don't know. I don't know what kind of car you roll in. Honda Accord 99 right here. Right? Oh, my gosh. I love it. I upgraded from a 95 Civic hatchback, actually. So just a little bit better than you. just kidding. I don't see how that matters. But it's your parents. It's your parents' car. But then the day comes, and I wanna paint a scenario for you that, well, say someone gifted you with this car, someone gifted you with a car, and you were stoked. What kid isn't stoked when they get their first car, or young person when they get their first car? It doesn't matter what it really looks like. It's good. It's a car. It's yours. Now, what if you, when you received that car, you took that car and you were like, you know what, I'm not too sure about this car yet. I'm going to park it. I'm going to park it in the garage. I've heard things about cars. But the car, it's got gas in it. It's got oil. It's got new tires. It's got fresh paint. It's ready to go. It is ready to go. It is ready to get out of the garage and go. It was given to you. To go, okay. But you're not too sure. You're just like, oh, well, I don't really know. I don't really know if that's the car that I want to drive. Gasoline is explosive. What happens if I lit a match and dropped it in the gas tank? I could die. Right? I know. All the things we think about every day. Guys are like, who is this? Please, this is Matt Franklin. Not Mike Stand, actually. Okay, that's just between you and me, though. Okay, and everybody else now. Any thought for the first 3 minutes that we knew each other, because the first thing that she was asked was, do you know where we can find a mic stand? She thought she was being introduced to me, and she goes, and I believe you introduced me to someone else, and you said, this is Mike Stand. It's like, I'm Matt. Matt Franklin. Anyway, just funny. So you have this car, it's ready to go, but then you know that it could potentially, you know that you already know that it's good, you know that it can do good things, but you start thinking that, well, potentially it could be hazardous, right? It could be dangerous. Yes? Yes or yes? Yes, the car can be, right? When you're flying down the freeway, like, trusting that this little piece of concrete is separating and is going to keep you safe from the other people coming this way. Yeah, think about that. Isn't that amazing? Like, we trust, even on those roads, like going out to like Las Vegas or wherever, going out to the desert, these like, you know, and we're flying and people are flying this way. And for some reason, we see the yellow line and we're like, oh, I'm good. I am secure. Isn't that weird? It's weird, but it is. It could be dangerous. Anything could happen. You could be driving and your tire could fall off. Your engine could stop in the middle of the road. There are dangers involved. But you would say, Matt, that isn't rational. That's not normal. People wouldn't think like that. Someone who was given a car would be like, yeah, I'm going to drive the car. Let's go. Let's see what it can do. Do we treat our faith like this? Do we receive this faith at confirmation or whenever it is that you actually said yes to the Lord? We receive it. And then I see over and over and over again, so many people park it in the garage. They park it on the coffee table in that pretty Bible that grandma has that sits right there in the center of the house so everybody knows that we're Catholic. we park it. We think, well, if I drive this new car, well, what if my friends don't like my new car? What if they don't like it? What if they think it's dumb? What if they think I'm a weirdo because I like this car? Well, even worse, like what if people like literally reject me because of my car? And I know it seems like a weird analogy, but it's true, and I know that you know it to be true in the people around you. Maybe it's not you because you're here at the Elephant Bar, like to hear about Jesus and to celebrate your faith. So maybe it's not you, but chances are you know somebody who received their faith, said yes, walked the walk, and then all of a sudden their faith is over on the side. They've parked it. They've parked their faith. Or maybe they bring their faith out every now and then, but then if somebody ever comes up and challenges them, they're like, oh, no. Faith, you hang out back there. Jesus, don't get all noisy. Don't get rude. You know, like, we do this. We do this over and over and over again. Ask yourself, when the last time you were on an airplane, with someone, Jeremy, okay? That's Jeremy Berminder right there, folks. He's Jeremy. And he came all the way from Chico to hear this, so I got to step it up. No. Actually, you know, he came down because he has job interviews and he's going to crash on my couch tonight. So, there. Is that better? Okay. Cool. Last time you were on an airplane, did you ever think that maybe the person right next to you doesn't know who Jesus is? Did you even think for 5 seconds when on the bus or at your school, at your job, at wherever you are, in your own home? Did you ever think for 5 seconds, well, wait a second, I have this gift. I have this gift. I have this faith. I know who Jesus is. I hear about him every Sunday. I've even read some of his stories. I know about Jesus. I know about him. And yet when we're faced with the opportunity and you know what it feels like when you feel like the Lord is saying, now is the time to speak up. Now is the time to share. Now is the time to step out of your comfort zone. Now's the time to take that car out of the garage and see what it can do. But we go, no. Why do we do that? Why do we clam up? Come on, somebody, give me an honest answer. Okay, because you think it depends on you. Whether you know enough? Do you know enough about the Lord to share about the Lord? Do you know enough about the Catholic Church to share about the Catholic Church? And oftentimes, most people would say, well, no, I don't think I do. I don't think I do. But what's funny is I've met tons of guys who boast in their theology degrees. They love it. Oh, you know, well, oh, I have all these degrees. I'm so learned of the things of the Catholic Church. But when you bring them face to face with someone who doesn't know the Lord, do they step up and say, you know, I have this amazing truth, and I need to share it with you. I feel called to share it with you. No, a lot of times those guys, although we need those guys, and those guys are always blessing the church, a lot of guys that I run into, they just want to argue theology. They want to argue, you're wrong and I'm right. And it's not about Jesus. It's not about the faith. It's about how much you know. You're not taking the car out. You're, you know, showing everybody your big muscles and how fast you can run. Because something has to happen. Something has to happen in order for us to be able to step out in faith. Something has to happen, and it will change everything. And it's not a one-time occurrence. It's an everyday occurrence. It's every single day when we wake up. And listen to this. If I told you, if I said, hey, all right, John 3:16. What is that? John 3:16. Come on, somebody, go. Yes. For God so loved the world. Don't we love that? I love that. Oh, God, you love me? You love the world? So you gave your son? That's dope. I don't say dope, so I don't know why that came out. So you so love the world. We memorize that. Like, even those of you that were like, wait a second. No. I've heard John 3. I've seen it, like, on bumper stickers. Like, guys at the, what's his name, Tebow used to have it on his eyes. You know, like, okay, John 3:16, yeah. And then when somebody started saying it, for God so, you went, oh, yeah, for God so loved the world, yeah. Yes, he does. He loves the world. He loves the world. Woo! Good night. Isn't that great? That's good news, right? That's really good news. But the problem is so many people stop there. Well, for God so loved the world. Am I blocking someone? I saw somebody look in the window. I don't want to, like, mess up anybody and, like, break their dishes. So for God so loved the world. That's really good. Now, what if I asked you, Luke 9:23. It's a little tougher to remember because it's not as sweet. It says this. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, you guys have heard this, yes? Yes. You know, but you don't remember where it was from, necessarily. You know, like, I know about the thing about the cross. You always got to bring that up. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. That doesn't sound like I get to park my faith. It sounds like there's a choice to be made, right? It sounds like there is work ahead. There is going to be challenges. If for some reason you're sitting here and you're like, I've never had a single challenge. I've been Catholic all my life, and I'm like, I'm really, really good at it. That very good. I'm really happy for you. But if you've never had a challenge, you've never in your faith, I would beg to say that maybe, and you might punch me in the mouth for this, maybe you're not living it out as much as you think you are. If you've never suffered because of Jesus, because of what he's done for you, because of what you believe, if you've never experienced anything even remotely close to that, I would ask you, have you actually surrendered your life to Jesus? Or are we just going through the Catholic motions, doing the cross clap? Because that's what we do cross claps and stuff like that. We're good at it. That would be my question to you. And I don't get to preach at you. I get to preach with you. Because Matt Franklin has to answer this question every single day. I have 6 children that I'm responsible for. 6 children that I can either do a good job pointing them to Jesus, or I could do a horrible job pointing them. I could do a mediocre job, I guess. I guess I could. I gave the analogy last night at San Rafael about we get the invitation from Jesus, and Jesus says, let's go, you can follow me. And I like to see it like this. Like, Jesus says, you know what, here, for the first little bit, let me do the walking. I'll carry you. Come on. So he says, look, I got this wheelbarrow. Come on in. Hi. So I got this wheelbarrow. Go ahead and get in, and I'm going to do the walking. It's good. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. So you get in, and you put your 1 foot in. There you are. Woo! 1 foot in the wheelbarrow. I'm good. This is good. Okay, 1 foot in. I'm with Jesus. But I still love all of this. I'm not ready to surrender, so to speak, all of this over here. The world, so to speak. So if I'm 1 foot in the wheelbarrow, where's all my weight? Go ahead. It's not rocket surgery. Okay. It's on the other stuff. All your weight is in the world, right? So you're just getting enough of Jesus to make you miserable. That's that's a bad place to be. You know, because suddenly you do this all the time, or you go to a party and you drink way too much, and then afterwards you're like, oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Oh gosh. I'm gonna go to confession. I've confessed this for like 6 months straight. As you're leaning over a toilet bowl, like praying, oh, have you ever prayed for God to take it away and you made all the promises in the world? Like, oh, I will go to, I'll be a nun, not me. I'll be a priest, I will. I mean, you know, if something happens to my wife, you know, I'm going to stay with her if that doesn't happen. But if you take this, if you let this cup pass, I will do anything. Make all these deals with God. And we always find ourselves afterwards, whether it's drinking, whether it's our relationship with our boyfriend or our girlfriend, whether it's the things that we entertain, whether it be music, whether it be our movies, whether it be the things that we look at on the internet, whatever it may be, we hang on to them. We hang on to them. We don't give them up. But for some reason, every single time, because you know who Jesus is, every single time you do this, you walk away feeling a little less like yourself, with this guilt. And you confess it over and over again. Because for some reason, and a lot of people like to say, it has a grip on me. And I'd like to ask, is it it that is gripping onto you, or is it us that is just holding on for dear life to our sin? We love it. The scriptures tell us so. It says your heart, you do the things that you hate because you don't actually hate them. We haven't surrendered it yet. So Jesus says, pick up your cross. Pick up your cross and follow me. He says, whoever desires to live his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And then in 14:27, he says, and whoever does not bear his cross, check this out. This is Jesus. Remember, for God so loved the world, Gishy, I love everybody. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Cannot. Let me just put the emphasis on cannot. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me may or cannot be my disciple. Anybody confused on that? Are we confused about what that actually means? Anyone? No, we're not confused at all. We're not confused at all. But has that message that we've heard over and over and over again from our youth all the way up until now, if we're going to Mass, we've heard these things said, but there's something missing. That message, it's in our head. We hear it and we go, okay, yeah, of course. No, we can't do it. You know, we can't be your disciple if we don't carry our cross. But that message is staying in our heads and it's not moving down to our hearts. Because we're not surrendering ourselves to it. So what we end up with is a church full. I'm gonna be bold. We have a church full of posers. Awesome. Now, I'm not pointing fingers, because you guys are here. But do you ever find yourself while you're in church totally distracted by the people around you? Like that lady who wishes she could sing like Mariah Carey, but she can't, and she's right behind you. Right, Peter? I know. Me and Pete, good times, right? Remember earlier? We're posers. We call ourselves Catholics. We say we know the fullness of truth. It's funny because the Catholic Church is the biggest of all the Christian churches. It's the first, and, you know, rightfully so. I believe we are the church. I believe it. But the only reason our church keeps growing is because our people keep having more babies. People like the Franklins have 6 kids. Like, what? That's crazy. You live in Southern California. Knock it off. I remember one retreat I was doing. It was at Mass, and during the homily, the pastor says to me, hey, Matt, how many kids do you have now? And I had 5 at the time. I said 5, and he goes, what? 5? And he goes, don't you know what causes that? And, you know, like, he asked the question. And I said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. And I gave him a little wink, to which he went, woo, bright red, like, and back to my homily. But our church is huge because our families are huge. We keep handing down the faith, but very little of the church exists because of us stepping outside of the church and saying, come. Come here. Come in here. Are you broken? Are you poor? Are you hurting? Are you an addict? Are you longing for love? Are you any of the above? Are you any of these things? Come here. Come to our church. Come to our church. And I know you might be thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I would invite him necessarily to my church. You know, like, I remember one church I was at in Orange County. I was so sad. I was walking into Mass just as this homeless lady was standing outside, and she was asking for help. She was asking for help, and the ushers came and said, get off the property. Get off the property before we call the cops. What? What is that? Do you think she walked away and said, oh, praise the Lord? No! She was like, you guys are full of crap here. And for the most part, it seems like so many of us are. We walk through the motions. We say we believe in the Eucharist, and we walk up to receive the Eucharist, and so many times we have so much sin on our hearts. And Jesus tells us, you take this with all this sin on your heart, you are like eating your own condemnation. But still, we're not going to sit in the pew and have people judging us. So we go. Do you realize what that means? It means we're posers, guys. We're not Christians. We're faking it. I have a friend who's going through a lot of hard times right now. And every conversation has always been, it's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's the church's fault. You know? Well, if the church played better music, I would surrender to Jesus. If the church had colored lights and a big screen that had moving backgrounds, I'd surrender. Nope. Easy. If they had a good children's ministry that I could drop my kids off at, and they would watch my kids so I could go to Mass for one time in 11 years and not be distracted by kids, then I would surrender to Jesus. Yeah. It's always, we pass the buck. And it doesn't count. What it comes down to is that if we live in that state where we've never actually surrendered, but we're sticking to the program, in hopes that something good will come out of the program, like maybe I'll get to go to heaven because I did the program. You know what Jesus, said to those who, they said, but we prophesied in your name. We did signs and miracles. We did all these things. And we said in the name of Jesus, we used your name all the time. Do you remember what he says to them? Come on. Anybody? Yeah. He calls them evildoers. He says, I do not know you. Depart from me, evildoers. What? I guarantee you, he is talking to the people that did not surrender their lives. They never picked up their cross. They stayed going through the motions, and they looked good to everybody else, but they never, ever said, Jesus, take everything. Take it all. I give it all to you. If you ever wonder why, while you're bored at Mass, you ever wonder why you don't feel that buzz that you felt at your high school retreats or Steubenville or wherever whatever you've done? You're wondering where that is, like, or you're wondering, like, why doesn't God do miracles anymore? I guarantee it has more to do with us than it does with him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And guys, this world that we live in, we have been called to go out into the world. We weren't called to come into pretty buildings and sing kumbaya together. That's part of being in community. But we were called to go out there, to go to the sushi place over there, eat their sushi. I don't actually like sushi, so I'd probably just have a soda or something. Or I guess a beer if they had it. And to go to where the people have needs, to go to where the lost are, to meet them where they're at. Not for them, not to wait inside of our pretty buildings that from the outside, if you have a lot of baggage, if you're a drug addict and you're on the streets and you walk by a Catholic church, is your Catholic church the kind of church that someone would walk by and go, I think I would be welcome there? That looks like a welcoming, loving place? Or would there be people outside saying, oh, no, come in, come in, come in. Come on, everybody's welcome here. Would you be the one to walk out those doors and to say, no, come in, come in? Or would we let our fear of, oh, man, what if they reject me? Deacon Ralph Poyo did a youth minister's retreat a couple years ago. I had the privilege of leading worship for it. That guy gets it. He inspires me. He lives out his faith. And he said this. He said, how is the evil one going to be defeated? And how are lives going to be changed? How are people going to know that Jesus Christ is who we say he is? He said this. He said, through all of the theology classes that you've ever taken, you just spout those all off to them. And people will be like, I'm coming to church this Sunday because of it. No, that wasn't it. It's actually in Revelation. Revelation. Man, John, this guy, one of the sons of thunder. This guy was bad to the bone. When I think of John, I think of a guy probably a lot like Peter too. I see John like taking a big, you know, thing of chewing tobacco and like sticking it in his lip, and he doesn't even spit. He swallows it. He's so tough. And he always has this look. And then when he speaks, just love pours out because he knows Jesus and he's surrendered to Jesus. And they tried to kill him. They tried to. You remember? You know how they tried to? What'd they do to try to kill that guy? What's that? Yeah, well, they tried to poison this guy too. And he rejected it. He didn't die. He didn't die. He didn't die because his soul said, wait. Nope, you're not done yet. You're not done yet. You know that book you guys have been all contributing to? Well, you don't know that you're contributing to the book yet. You're just writing it down. You get to write the last chapter. So you're not done. So he goes and he writes this when they exile him. He says this in Revelation 2:11. It says, and they overcame him, the evil one, by the blood of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Yeah, say it like you believe it. Okay, good.
Jesus,
oh! Okay. By the blood of the Lamb, and check this out. It does not say all of the theology that they ever learned ever. It does not say by something that they just made up. It says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. If you don't know your testimony, I have to ask you, have you surrendered to Jesus yet? Have you actually surrendered all of your life to him so you know who you are in the sight of God? Because our testimony is what Jesus has done in our lives. Because I could spout off theology to people on the streets and they'll go, okay, great, awesome. But they want to see. They want to know, who is this Jesus that you're talking about? So the best thing you have and the thing that nobody can take away from you is your testimony. If you don't know your testimony tonight, people, I challenge you to pray and ask God to reveal it, to show how he has had his hand on your life always. I challenge you. Because that's how we overcome the evil one. And that's how we win hearts. We share what Jesus has done in our lives and we be Jesus to others. But that's so hard. It's so, so hard if we don't surrender. Because if we don't surrender, it's just us. And we're going to run out of juice somewhere along the line. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Holy Spirit, please convict our hearts every single day to surrender each day to you. To surrender all of our lives, whatever that looks like, Lord. And Lord, that we would be obedient to it. And we would do what you asked us to do. Please, please, Jesus. You are the way and the truth and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through you, and we believe it and we trust it. So help us to surrender our will, our plans, our hopes, everything to you. Help us to pick up our cross, whatever it may look like, whatever it is. We all have them, and whether we recognize them as our cross or not, we have them. And Lord, help us to pick that cross up with joy and again surrender to you and to your will. God, help us. Help us. For this lost world is dying and in desperate need of your love. And you've chosen us. You've chosen us. God, help us to believe it. Help us to trust it. And then help us to surrender to that calling, whatever it looks like. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Does anybody have any questions? Anything I say tonight annoy you? And you're like, anything? About anything. I'll talk about anything right now. Just anything. Jeremy, what do you want to know? Boxer briefs. Okay. It's really none of your business. Are we still recording this? Hopefully we can just delete that part. That's not all of the Diocese of San Diego's business. Thanks for asking, though. I'm just kidding. Anything? Yes.
How did you and your wife meet?
Oh, cool. My wife and I met at youth group. Yeah. I was 17 when I got invited to youth group, and I was a mess. I was a mess of a kid. I didn't have, like, the roughest of upbringings. I was just really depressed. My mom died when I was 2. She died of cirrhosis of the liver at the age of 26. She had Hep C also. My dad and she were heroin addicts, and my dad left my sister and I, And I was kind of like the black sheep. Always, I never did good in school, blah, 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 blah. And I had a really, really tough time. And I always felt like God made a mistake with Matt Franklin. And then when I was 17, I was actually, I was contemplating suicide. Well, and I decided that I was going to do it. And this guy, Dominic Polito, who to this day is still my best friend, he invited me to youth group. And I went to this hippie Jesus youth group. And it was I didn't really hear what was going on. I just knew that there were girls there, and that was great. And they were like holding my hands, and they were like, "We're so glad you're here." And I'm like, "I know," you know. And it was really great. And so and then I left, and I had this whole dialogue with God, and it was actually really incredible how it happened. But I challenged God. I was like, "God, show me something." I was in my room that same night, that Sunday night, and I said, "Show me something." And I would have accepted anything as a sign. And nothing happened. And I got so upset. And then I said, forget it. I'm going to do it." And then the phone rings in my room, and I pick up the phone. And this is before, you know, we all had cell phones. Only Zach Morris had a cell phone. And I'm speaking to young adults, so hopefully you know who that is. Saved by the Bell, kids. Okay. So, I picked up the phone, and this guy goes, "Hey, this is Dominic. Is Matt there?" And I said, "Yeah, this is him. You're looking for my sister, you know?" And he goes, no, "I'm looking for you." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "Man, I was crying on my way home, because I was thinking about you, and I just started crying." I was like, "Oh, that's weird." And he says, "No, man, I got home, and I just had this overwhelming sense that I had to call you, and I just had to tell you how much God loves you." And I said, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, and whatever you're doing, I think you're just supposed to stop, and you're just supposed to pray." And I said, "How do you know what I'm doing?" And he goes, "I don't know what you're doing. I'm just trying to be obedient, you know?" And I was like, okay. So at 17, I end up giving my life in my bedroom on my knees. You know, I'd always been Catholic. You know, I was baptized and everything, but I didn't own it. I didn't know him like that. And I was introduced to him by another teen, you know? So anyway, so kept going to this youth group. And then one Sunday, this cheerleading, rap-loving girl comes in, and she is gorgeous. And she has this long brown hair and these bright blue eyes, and oh. But she's all like, "Cheerleader." And I'm all like, "No, anti-everything." And she's all into rap, and I was like, "I'm in a punk band." But I couldn't stop thinking about her, and we just started hanging out. And then, yeah, next thing I knew, we started dating when we were both 19, and then by 20 we were engaged, and all down. No. Uphill. It's all uphill. It's good. So that's long story short that we met at youth group. Yeah. Anything else? Anything? Now's the time. Yes, ma'am. Sure. Yeah. See, and I think we have to be careful how we define need, because needy doesn't necessarily mean a homeless person. That's a need, yes. Needy could be someone at work who is struggling in their relationship, or they're struggling with finances, whatever it is, but they're stressed out, and us being as simple as it seems, us being that open ear, you know, just like, "Hey, what's going on?" And actually mean it, you know. If you've ever been a leader on retreat ever, they always say, like, you know, don't just ask, "Oh, how's it going?" and then walk away, but actually mean, and like make eye contact, and you know, something as simple as that, you're being Jesus, you know. Because you're loving them in their brokenness, you know. And also to pray every single morning, to pray, "Okay, God, what do you want to do? How do you want to use me today?" And I guarantee you will have an opportunity every day. And as your day goes by, you'll be able to reflect back and say, "Oh, yeah, there it is. There it was right there," you know. So definitely start your day by praying first of all. I suggest if you're going to pray, if you guys take prayer time, give them your first fruits right in the morning, okay? Or I guess the other ideas is also at when you're at your best, you know? Like whenever you want to take a test, not that anybody ever wants to, but when you would say, no, this time of the day is the best time for me to take a test, that's the time of day where you should find 5 minutes at the least to pray and say, okay, God, lead me. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And he'll provide. And a lot of times also it's just knowing that you're ready to be obedient. You know, like Abraham, when God called him, and one of the translations says, God says, Abraham, and Abraham's answer wasn't like, what? I'm busy. He says, Abraham, and he says, ready. Boom, ready to go. What do you got? Like he knows the voice of God, and he says, ready. So like to be ready. And then if God provides the opportunity, go. And that's that. Anything else? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So first, people that sin against you, yes. Okay. So yeah, offend you, hurt you. That honestly, that is a constant everyday challenge for me. I have someone in my own family, not my wife or children, but an aunt who, she's not very kind, and she finds ways to hurt people all the time with her words, and I'm a very easygoing person, I'm a very forgiving type of person, but this is the one I have to ask God for God's help every single day, because like it's just the smallest thing can set you off. Now in forgiving yourself, forgiving yourself, honestly, like you have to trust that Jesus forgives you. He means it. Like when he says, I forgive you, he forgives you. He says he removes the scriptures tell us that he removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. And if we know our geography, we know that the east and the west, they never meet. And another verse says they're on the bottom of the ocean floor, you know, and we can't go down there and dredge them up. So we have to trust that our Lord, our Savior, who carried that cross, who died for those sins, bore all of that sin and nasty, that he really does forgive you. And so when you own that and you say, okay, I am forgiven, makes it a lot easier to forgive yourself. But then if it's something on the topic of if we keep committing the same sin, okay, it's time for accountability. Okay, if there's an area of your life that you keep going back to, whatever it is, whether it's a boyfriend, whether it's a girlfriend, whether it's whatever, fill in the blanks, it's time for accountability. That's why we have community. We reach out to our brothers. Like, you know, 6 years ago, my wife and I had the pornography discussion. Because she saw that I looked at it on the, I know, a youth minister, no way. No way in heaven and earth would that ever happen. But yeah, it did. And I had to have accountability. Because it's such a secret sin now. You know, you pull out your phone, it's right there. But to have accountability that, you know, my phones, if I look at something inappropriate, it goes to a couple of brothers of mine, and I'll get a little phone call, and they'll say, hey, what's going on, Frankie? You know, and I'll be like, what it does, that accountability, knowing that I don't want to have that conversation, I'm not going anywhere near it. You know what I mean? And it helps, you know? And so in those times that we do mess up, or we do fall, or we go back to that sin, you're able to have those people. You know that they're not going to reject you, but you do know that they're going to tell you the truth. You know what I mean? And not, you don't want somebody that's going to be like, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. You want somebody that's going to tell you the truth and be honest with you. So accountability. Anything else? Yeah. Until about 5 seconds ago, I wasn't completely convinced that I was bald. Hopefully, well, no, I mentioned it, so it's on the recording now. I always had like really fine hair, like as a baby and stuff, and as a kid. And I think I helped it out in high school because it was like cool to bleach your hair back then. And I know you can't imagine me with hair, and it's actually no good. So I don't know, like 20, I was young. Thanks. Nancy, it looked like Mary for a second, but then I was like, no, are you kidding? That's a right? I know that because we're best friends. Yeah, so like I was 19 or 20 when it started fading, and then I think at 24, like I kept my head buzzed, but then I was like, you know what, I'm just going to embrace it. Let's go. So yeah, thank you. I'm glad I could help you, you know, with your faith. Okay, good. All right, guys, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure.